Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
I'm Dave Detman, also known as Dr. Gadget. I've got a new podcast called The Big Idea. And every week, I talk to inventors and visionaries who made it big in their respective industries. We'll tackle weekly trending tech, provide inside tips for your success, and go deep dives on the latest and greatest innovations. And I know you're going to love this part. I'll also have plenty of free giveaways. Who doesn't love free stuff? So listen to and follow The Big Idea with me, Dr. Gadget, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts.
JB Weld, today's podcast brought to you by JB Weld, world's strongest bond. The brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. You got to keep it in your cupboard, your toolbox, your garage. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, wherever you find finer products. Proudly made in the U.S. of A. All right, what are we talking about in this show, Motorator?
Oh, we're going to get a little preview of the Long Beach Grand Prix, or I guess it's Grand Prix of Long Beach. I keep getting that one wrong. They got the IMSA class going up over there, and you're going to be driving an NSX at the track.
Exciting. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote, or contact a local agent. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. This is CarCast. Matt McCrell, it's Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, over there.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Yeah, things have been good. Things have been busy. I'm looking forward to Grand Prix of Long Beach this weekend. Also looking forward to Chris's wedding. But this isn't the wedding podcast.
This is the Grand Prix weekend.
This is the, you know, it's the car cash, so I just had to like...
Jeez, how long is it? I missed one. I was out of town doing shows. I don't know. Has it been 3 years since I've been there? Four years?
I think it's been a few years. And then there was like a year off. There's a pandemic version. And then the one we just went to, the one that I just went to, was September. And then they, you know, because they postponed it. And then they brought it back to the regular schedule of April. So they raced September. I think it was September, somewhere around September. And then now, April. So they're back.
So I'm looking forward to that. You're looking forward to that. We'll be hanging around with everybody, but I think Letterman Rahal maybe. Is Bobby's going to be there?
Bobby's going to be there. Graham Rahal, of course, is going to be racing. Simon Pagenaud, who was on the show earlier this week, with his new team, Meyer-Shank Racing. His teammate is Elio Castroneves.
Great.
So we had a great chat with Simon. So we're going to see those guys. And then you're going to be back on the track.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So we could get into that.
Are we doing the Acura ride-along thing?
Yes. So... What's typically done in the past is when they did the Pro Celebrity Race, there was also some ride-alongs in some cars for media.
They put them in like a hopped-up Camry or something.
Yeah, or whatever the pace car was or a couple of them. But, you know, Acura has been the main sponsor now. And during the racing weekend, they bring out a couple of like racing instructors or drivers. And they do some ride-alongs in between racing sessions. You know, IndyCar does a practice. They take a break. They do some ride-alongs to sponsors and VIPs and charity winners and things like that. And, you know, and most of the drivers that are out there, pretty much all the drivers that are out there are professional drivers or racing instructors. But an opportunity came up. You do have a little bit of experience on this track.
Yeah,
so the opportunity came up for you to drive. So we said, sure, I think you'd like to do that.
Is it NSX?
So we're going to go out there Sunday. You're going to be out there Sunday morning. People can, you know, anybody that's out there Sunday morning can watch. You're going to be driving the NSX, which is interesting because I drove the NSX And it's a car that I really do enjoy. I like the car. A hybrid, you know, gas engine and the hybrid. But it's a little kind of just feels like a regular Acura on the street. But when you wake the car up, when you put it into the track modes and the and stuff, which I think you'll have the opportunity to do, you're really going to see what this car can do. I think the comment that most people have said about the Acura is it's an incredibly fast car if you have somebody behind the wheel that can make it go fast, because it was meant to be, I don't know, just kind of a tame car. It's not, you know, it's not like a crazy slide around a track GT500 or something really kind of raw, you know, mm-hmm. GT3 RS and mm-hmm. some of the cars we raced at Vegas on in Speed Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to be very interesting. But the NSX, it's got three electric motors with the gas engine. The combined mm-hmm. horsepower is 573 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
So the engine in the back, mid-engine, is 500 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an electric motor.
It's a V6. Is it turboed?
It is. It's a twin turbo 3.5 liter.
Hmm.
It has an electric motor in the back or attached to the engine or on the transmission that is 47 horsepower that helps power the rear wheels with the gas engine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has two electric motors, one on each front wheel, that's 36 horsepower each. So the gas engine's 500 and the total combined is 573 horsepower.
Yeah, that thing will scoot around that track, and it's a good track. I mean, it's good for a street track. I've been sort of thinking about it lately, and it's an easier track to drive because there's no elevation changes. The line is pretty easy to pick up on mm-hmm. unless you're Dara Torres, in which case you ignore all lines.
Again and again and again.
You look at that thing on the hairpin, yeah. You stop it. She's literally facing the grandstands going the other direction on the straightaway yeah. and heading right at me.
Yeah, yeah.
How
yeah.
could that possibly you know, ever work?
I told Ugh. You that when Goldberg did it and he got crashed off the track and he's like, who was it? It was the damn swimmers. Like, Dara Torres? Like, yes! And I was like, oh, great.
So, may have taken second in that race if she'd just let yeah. me alone. But anyway.
Well, look, she was not invited back to drive an NSX.
That's you right. Were. I was. But I have never crashed on that track. Knock on laminated wood. I've had some, you know, stuff come up, but I always was like, I'm going to keep it clean and finish this race.
Yeah.
This is so much fun. I don't want to deprive myself of laps on this track.
You know, but how many times have we also had the discussion going, you know what, there's a lot of celebrities that kind of forget in the passion of the moment, forget what they learn and wreck the cars. And that's a pretty good way to not get invited back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you want to get invited back because you like doing the race.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you, though, is when you get into the NSX, it's got a 9-speed twin clutch that I guess you can just run it in auto or run it or paddle shift it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we kind of like, I don't know what you want to do. But the question is if it's in track mode, I don't remember. If it's in track mode, is it only paddle?
I would bet it is.
You know, I wonder if you can
run I have no
paddle.
Idea, but I would bet it is. Or they do something with the automatic mode where they add another 800 RPM or
yeah,
something to
yeah.
the whatever. But
I mean, it gets very smart. Like when you start to, like if you run it in the street mode, then you run it in the whatever, the sport plus or the track mode, you see that it holds revs. You know, when you're braking hard, it holds revs up. You get out of the turn.
Does it blip the throttle?
I don't know that it really needs to. Yeah, I guess it would. I guess
if
it kind of does.
Shifting.
Yeah. And then, you know, now you got electric motors in the front, so now it's kind of pulling you out mm-hmm. of that turn. And those mm-hmm. electric motors in the aggressive modes, we talked about this on supercars, you can start to notice where it fills in for the turbo lag. Mm-hmm. You know, you're hard on the brakes and you're digging out of a corner. Those electric motors get that you know, that first,
the hairpin,
whatever,
man.
60 feet going.
Oh, yeah. I think yeah. at the end of Shoreline, you could be going 150. 53 miles an hour in that car. I'd say it's a long enough straight. I think the little pop gun Scion's probably 130 chin change at the end of that thing.
I was going to say the Acura is going to be way faster than anything you've driven on that track before.
Oh yeah, I mean the Scion's had 210 horsepower.
Yeah,
maybe 215.
Yeah, this is getting then. This is knocking on the door of three times that, two and a half times that.
Yeah, you'll be getting going a lot faster at the end of that shoreline. We just have to make sure and work out those brake markers a little bit better.
And actually, we need to see is the NSX that you're going to drive, is it the steel brakes or the carbon brakes?
Because
there is a difference, especially in that track. The carbon, I think the steel brakes have, I've read some people saying, hey, it fades a little bit after a while. But
The carbon brakes, I think, aren't better just in general. They're better over time, right?
And with heat in them.
Right, right. Right.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. I wonder what time they want me there.
About 9. Yeah, a little before 9.
Yeah.
9-ish. Yeah.
Could do that. Got to figure out.
Well, I mean, technically there's a 6:45 a.m. meeting, but I told them that.
Yeah. Want me to bring a fire suit?
I think you should.
No helmet.
Bring your helmet.
Bring everything.
Yeah. Just bring the bag and then I'll get more details in the next couple of days.
So, the race is Sunday. There's some vintage stuff going on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not sure when is the vintage stuff going off after the Indy race. And then, the next question is are they bringing the trucks back?
Oh, they usually do the trucks at the end after the Indy race.
So now I wonder when the vintage race. Well, Chris can look that goes off.
I didn't see it on the schedule. But Simon told me that they're doing their warm up at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you'll be getting into the NSX. So I think you're up right after theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And then
race is at 10:45,
and you'll be out of the NSX by then. So.
But it says NSX hot laps at 11:10.
Yeah.
No, don't let them do that thing where they go, we need you there at 9.
Yeah, well, we'll have to confirm, but I was told if you can't make the 6:45, you got to make the 9 because they're still going to have a meeting.
Every business, it's like we're going to have a meeting. Like I've done things where they go like, let me explain who I am. They do this thing where it's like, hey, you're going to do this thing in Florida. You're going to land at midnight, and we're going to meet in the lobby at 6:30, and we're going to have a meeting from 6:30 to 7, and then we're going to get in the van, and we got to go to location. That's about an hour away. And then I raise my hand, and I go, why don't we do the meeting in the van?
That's what I'm saying.
Everyone looks at me. And I go, no, we're going to be in the van for an hour. Why don't we just talk about the 8 minutes of whatever we have to talk about in the van?
In the van.
Because there's a discussion of like, you know, you do X amount of laps. Here's where you get off the course. Here's where you get on the course. It can all be ingested in about a 4 minute span, and then you wait around for 2.5 hours before you get in the car.
And I tell you what, even if you did the meeting and then got in the van, people are going to talk about the meeting in the van. That's where the questions come up and everything else, right? So why go, hey, we only got 30 minutes for the meeting.
Right.
Right. And so and so's running late and line at the coffee. And then, like, just do it in the van anyway.
I agree. So we'll see. I mean, we can ask them. There's two things about this business. All business. They want to have a meeting, and they want eyes on you. And they want eyes on you. Yeah. And then you go, look, if the shit starts at 11:30, then I'll get there at 11. And I'm like, no. We need to have eyes on you. And it's like, first off, I'm not a rapper. Like, I will show up when you need me to show up. But I don't want to be there for 2.5 hours just so you know I'm there.
Yeah.
That's how the business goes. Well, we'll point out the schedule to them and point out the 100 laps I've done on that track, and we'll see.
They said, they're like, there is a mandatory meeting at 6:45. You know, if Adam can't make it, can you send a representative? I was like, no. can't do that.
Well, just play the wedding card. Tell them I'm out of town for
well,
a wedding.
We did that, yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah, we did that for sure.
Now, the question that we probably should get to solving right now is in-car radio for the Trans Am race. I still never really solved that riddle.
Yes.
Now, I could get some, you know, Ultimate Ears molded earbuds and plug them into something. But we're going to have to talk to that team and go, whatever we're going to put in the helmet, tell us now.
Yeah. All right. So we should fire off an email to the team and said, what are you expecting us to bring?
Mm-hmm.
And what are you guys going to provide? And then from there, we'll ask a bunch of questions because there'll be some holes in the correspondence, as there always is.
Now, that's coming up soon, so we'll look forward to that. We'll document it. We'll keep everyone posted.
And, so again, driver suit as well. Nobody mentioned anything.
Oh, sponsors. Yeah. Be good to figure that one out
so
as well.
Here's a question for both Long Beach and potentially Trans Am. You have a number of racing suits. Do you have one that's clean, like nothing on it? Do you just have like a new suit, like Sparco suit in a bag somewhere that probably doesn't have?
I think there's one that just says Sparco on it.
Yeah, I think I thought you had one that was just kind of
red one that just says Sparco on it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay. So I can just bring that one.
I think that's going to be the default for now, and then we'll take it from there. We're just going to.
All right. So radio, fire suit. And do people like Pilsner or IPAs? Those are the questions to ask the race team. All right. So what else is going on in your car world?
I want to get in a little bit to the vintage race at Long Beach as well, about the theme for that. Let me just hit Meguiar's real quick.
All right.
You know, car waxes have come a long way. And over the last few years, Meguiar's has launched the next generation of protective products specifically geared toward DIYers. They have a huge lineup currently of their hybrid ceramic products, such as their spray wax, the hybrid ceramic liquid wax, the spray detailer, the ceramic wash and wax, and the hybrid wash mitt. And new for this year, they have the hybrid ceramic prep wax. I'm sorry, it's the pre-wax prep. This revives the paint easily, removes swirls and other minor defects. It's a really good, easy-to-use product. And they have their ceramic trim restorer. Restores the darkness and shine to the exterior trim, which is also good if you've got what's that damn Avalanche. You got an Avalanche?
Oh,
you're going to want this.
Oh, Chevy Avalanche. Yeah.
The other one is
get two of those.
The Honda. Is it
Element?
Is the Element?
The minivan?
No, it's the one that's like the little square SUV that has just giant black.
I think that's the Element.
I think it could be the Element. Yeah.
I mean, it is I'd call it a minivan, but maybe
it's
kind
of a mini. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely want this. You want the hybrid ceramic trim restorer for that thing. Well, now Meguiar's has a hybrid ceramic solution for everyone. For incredible water beating and protection and durability beyond traditional wax, it's ceramic made easy. It's Meguiar's.
All right, so the vintage race.
So the vintage race, I was looking it up. You said it's they're going to do 20-minute sessions Saturday and Sunday. We just saw it on the schedule there. The theme this year is IMSA GTP. IMSA GTP never ran in Long Beach, but the powers that be thought this would be kind of exciting. Your friend Vandergriff, I think, is running the program.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Vandergriff is running the program. Mm-hmm. They say 80s and 90s cars, but it's looking more specifically like 87 and 92.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Derek Bell and Derek Daly and Scott Pruitt and Bobby Rahal and Hans Stuck and Wayne Taylor, Allenzer Jr. These are all the cars that, you know.
You say GTP?
Car. Yeah.
Wow. That'll be fun.
I think it'll be – they expect about 20 cars in the field.
Really?
I don't know what sort of – you know, what sort of fall off we're going to see between the Saturday and the Sunday, you know, mm-hmm. Potentially. It's always tough to get these old cars.
A little bit of attrition.
Yeah. But yeah.
Cars are going to be fast on that shoreline.
And it'd be cool to be able to walk around a little bit and see these things. Usually they have them all, you know, in the Coliseum there in the little convention
center.
Yeah,
and they make a great sound too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of turbos and flat sixes and Nissan V6s with twin turbos and stuff. I mean, it'll probably be I'm guessing Porsche mostly, some Nissan, a little Jag mixed in there.
Yeah, I don't know if it was, Jag, Mazda, Nissan, Lola, Toyota, Ford.
Oh, yeah, Toyota, yeah. Ford, Cosworth, I guess. I'm trying to think of what, I don't know, like a Lola chassis or something.
I meant to reach out to Bobby Rahal. I know he's got his hands full running an IndyCar team, but I was wondering if he was going to do a stint in the vintage race.
You think Letterman's showing up?
I don't know. You'll see his beard.
He definitely shows up at Indy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's from Indy. Trying to think.
Yeah, this is a long haul for him, but it's an exciting race.
Yeah, I should talk to, maybe I should ask Nate to ask Bobby, or he'll just be there.
He'll just be there. I mean, I know Bobby's going to be there. Yeah. I usually see him every year. We sit down for a minute. And
who's, I don't know where we are with the points, where we are in the series. How many?
Yeah, I think there was.
Did they start it with Indy? Did they end it with Indy?
Well, they did. Did they just do the road course?
Yeah,
the Indy road course, and then end of May is the Indy 500. So I think there are a few races in. I'm not sure what the point standing is right now, but yeah, that's a good question. I don't know what the. I guess we'll figure out as we get into it. Or if you see anything pop up, Chris, where are we on the current IndyCar?
Let's see,
we got
Scott McLaughlin is number one. Will Power, number two.
Alex Palou, Joseph Newgarden, Marcus Ericsson, Scott Dixon, Colton Herta.
Colton is Ryan's son. Simon Pagenaud's nine, I guess. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Johnson is 10. Probably a different Jimmy Johnson than NASCAR Jimmy Johnson. Rahal is 12th because there's a tie for 10th, and so on and so. But where are they in the series? I mean, in the calendar, I guess, Chris. Like, where's this?
Oh,
I mean,
like how many races in? I think this is third.
This is the third one. Okay,
it feels like it's third.
It'll be fun. It'll be packed.
Yeah,
they'll have the Ducati banners flying overhead, and it's just a good damn. It's just a good damn time. Over there.
Yeah, so this is going to be the third race.
This will be the third race. So
it started because when I was talking with Simon this week, they had just done Daytona, 24 Hours Daytona, the Rolex 24.
Oh, right.
Simon, Elio, and then the other teammates were Tom and
Did they win
Oliver.
That thing?
They did.
Or they win their class?
I think they – that's a good question. I think they won their class and overall – because they were in the
It was an exciting race. It came down to it. It's crazy how that race. I was just watching some video footage on Bring a Trailer. It's probably a couple of years old. It was a Ferrari, probably a 488 and a Porsche 911, you know, GTR 3 or 333R or whatever fuck cup something. It was literally the last lap of the 24-hour race,
yeah.
And they were side by side, dicing, banging into each other. Like it was nuts that at the end of 24 hours, one car won in the GT class by less than a second, less than a second. And they were all running, they were going 10 tenths in this thing. I mean, there were balls to the wall, mm-hmm. redlining. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes me think of Ford v Ferrari when they're like, don't redline that car. And then he's like, I'm going to redline it. And then they just redline it. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
They just win the race.
Yeah.
Everyone else is shifting at 5,600 RPMs. Ken Miles is going to 7,400. But it's funny. They go like, don't do this or you'll blow up the engine. He's like, I'm doing it. And then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Just wins the race.
Just wins. Yeah. That's how it works.
I will tell you something in that movie that doesn't really happen on the track, which is when you are next to somebody, whether it's Willow Springs, and you're next to Dan Gurney, not a lot of crosstalk.
No.
Not a lot of, I'm coming for you on turn three, Dan. You try it. Not so much chatter.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to hear.
It's interesting you bring that up because when I was talking to Simon, I was like, hey, you do a lot of track racing, and then you do some oval racing. It's not like Indy is all oval, but, and I go, you know, tell me that they just talked to you a hell of a lot more during the old. He's like, yeah, it's a lot of strategy. He goes, and he literally said, he goes, yeah, during Indy 500, he has two spotters because the track is so big, and they got one for half the track, the other for half the track.
The 500,
yeah,
right?
And they're talking over each other, and he's like, guys, he's like, just let me drive. Gee, yeah. I'm doing 230 miles an hour, and you're both yelling at me. And he's like, just let me drive for a minute. It's a lot.
I feel his pain because when I used to do Loveline on MTV, they'd put an IFB in your ear.
Yeah.
Or they tried it for the first like several shows, and you'd be up there. And you'd be like answering a question from someone in the audience, and then like you'd hear in your ear, do the Israel joke, do the Israel joke. And while you're talking, and then you're talking to yourself, and you go, shut up, like to yourself. And I was like, guys, you're not funny, and this isn't helping. We're getting rid of this.
I remember the same story, like it was the first couple episodes of the car show in the studio that you're doing, and that producer is barking in your ear. You get somebody on the show, you know, Bruce Jenner, Chip Foose, and they're like, you know, ask about this.
Right.
And you're like, that's a stupid question. Everybody's asked him that question. Let's ask him something real. And you can't say that on the air because they're doing it basically live.
I get it for go to commercial.
Yeah.
And I get it for the pit, you know, in the car. And I get it for once in a while, you'll go, you know, I get it for the reference stuff. Like, you'll go, what was that guy? Had the blue flame, set the speed record. Craig Breedlove. Craig Breedlove. Remember that guy? Once in a while, that's really what you need them for.
That's what
you need.
What
was the name of that? Or who's the guy? Or, did Pagenaud, did he win overall or did he win in the GT class?
Yeah. Remind me what year is his championship?
GT class.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine. The jokes and the questions for Pagenaud, we don't need.
Right. You just want the Google guy.
That's right. Google guy.
Just the Google guy. You don't need the commentator.
Right.
Don't produce.
Right.
Just answer the question.
Or produce and then stop producing while we do the interview.
I was talking to Simon and going, it's got to be like they want to keep you calm the whole time. So it's kind of like the super supportive like dad where he's like, you know, Simon, you're coming up on this. You should do this. You should, you know, here's the strategy. You should do this, but do whatever you want. It's your race. You're driving. You should do whatever you want. But the whole time they're like, do this. But, you know, but really do whatever you want. It's like, how about if we stop talking and let me just do what I want?
Yeah, I like the do this, do that. And then they go, have fun out there.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
I can't have fun anymore.
You're doing great.
I'm thinking of all the shit.
All the shit you just told me to do. I got to figure out how to do.
So I'm looking down on our list, and Ram may be working on a compact pickup truck. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I saw this.
I got to tell you.
The main trucks are back.
I've been seeing Mavericks on the road. I don't know if the all-electric pickup truck.
The Rivian.
I've seen a few in the wild now.
Yeah.
They're kind of Maverick size. Like, I don't know what they're probably not calling it a mini pickup truck, but it's not a maxi pickup truck.
Yeah, but they're a little closer to like Ranger size because Maverick's small, Ranger, and then they're kind of closer to Ranger side. You know, and there's that office.
Are they building it on a Ranger platform?
No, this is the Rivian's all completely their own.
Bespoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're. You know, great reviews on the truck.
They look good. I've seen one in my neighborhood. Like they're nice looking. There's nice looking trucks. But Dodge. You know the craziest thing. It still gets me. I am a product of the mini truck era.
Yeah.
I had a 79 Datsun.
Oh, and you had the long bed.
Long bed.
The long bed mini truck.
Regular cab mini truck. I had a standard bed, standard cab, 84, now Nissan, pickup truck. I always wanted a Toyota pickup truck. They were too expensive. You could pick up a Nissan used for $1,000 cheaper than, you know, the kind of shit I was looking at was like $2,400, and the Toyotas were $3,300. But the Toyotas were always a little bit better. But those things, you know, I'm 6'2", they got a bench seat. The bench seat was always pegged back as far as it could
go. And then it gets like very vertical on your back.
Very vertical.
Like you really have to kind of sit up straight.
No headrest, just head against the rear window. And I was walking through my neighborhood the other day and I saw this behemoth honking truck, and it was a Toyota. It was mammoth.
Yeah.
Just mammoth. Yeah. And I'm
new, like, Tundra, big.
And I was just kind of wondering, like, is that bigger than the Dodge offering? I mean, I know it's not bigger than a Ford F-350 dually or that kind of thing, but I mean, that fucking thing was a load. And I, like, I think their heads would have exploded if you would have taken one of those mini truck guys from 1983 and shown them that Tundra. Like, they would have been like, holy shit, this is three of our trucks. It's crazy how big they are.
It would be intimidating. It would be, listen, in 94, I had a Ford Explorer, the two-door version, with a five-speed manual.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it's kind of like the SUV of mini trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And this week I'm driving a Cadillac Escalade.
Wow.
And the Escalade just seems huge.
It's a load.
It's just huge. And everything in it is like, it's big. The, you know, the center console is, you know, it's not six inches wide. It's 12 inches wide. It's got a refrigerator in it.
I think your Ford Explorer with the five-speed, if it was in good shape, yours was, I don't know. Oh, no. You had your Nissan Pathfinder crushed by a tree.
Yeah. My Explorer was actually mint.
That in mint shape because of the five-speed and because of the novelty of the two-door, I think that would fetch some pretty good bucks on Bring a Trailer about now.
It was a 93. I bought it a year used in like 94. And then I traded it in 99 for an E36 M3.
Nice.
And when I traded it, I said, I've got a really clean Explorer. And I said, so this is what I want for it. And they're like, yeah, we know what these things are all day long. And then they went out and then BMW took it across the street to the Ford dealer guy, and they came back. They're like, yeah, they said it was the nicest one they've ever seen in their life. And I go, yeah, all I do is clean it and wax it. And it was nice. You're right.
What is, Chris, you can look on Bring a Trailer. It has to be the two-door. It has to be the early 90s, and it has to be the five-speed manual.
It'd be tough to find five-speed.
I know. It's rare air, but
what do you guess? You know, I liked, you know, I was in
what
Arizona.
What do you think a clean version's going for if you could find one?
Ford Explorers? I don't know what Explorers worth, $5,000 these days. So
two-door with the five-speed. You'd have to find a really clean.
I mean, it'd have to be clean and under 100,000 miles to get any kind of decent money.
Yeah.
Anything over 100, and I'm sure a lot of them, almost all of them, have 100.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it would be, a clean one. Bring a Trailer, you know, $6,500.
Well, we'll let Chris look around.
It's a completely arbitrary
number. I don't know if they exist. I say maybe more. We're living in crazy times. That Lancia we were talking about, that Martini Lancia, you know, 92 four-door with the rally stripes on it, it finaled out at 255 on Bring a Tris.
Listen, if you tell me this thing is $37,000, I'd be like, yeah, that's pretty much almost what I paid for my M3 at the time. I think it was like 42.
The E36s are moving up. The E30s have crossed $100,000 now. I mean, it's all on.
Are we at a time now, like, everyone's just afraid to drive their specialty cars and sell them because everyone's like, someday it's all going to be worth money?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
The thing about Bring a Trailer is just like, who knew there were so many versions of cars that nobody drove? It seems like every Grand National on Bring a Trailer has got 890 miles on it. Like, when did that happen?
There's one up there now that's like 250 or something.
Yeah.
So Ram is working on possibly a compact.
Yes, the Ram 1200. I think it's, I think it popped up like on a website in Brazil, and that's what they're saying is going to come here. So
is Dodge doing anything outside of the truck department now that the Charger and the Challenger and everything's kind of getting long in the tooth?
Well, so technically Ram is just doing the pickup trucks.
Oh, it's just
the
Ram
brand. Dodge is doing the SUVs and cars.
Yeah. Is Dodge planning on bringing any Viper-esque, super whatever back? I mean, the Vipers have caught fire. They were worth nothing. We've talked about it a bunch on this show. Now they're fetching all the money in the world on Bring a Trailer. They've been, they stopped making their last one 5 years ago. I don't know when they stopped making the last Viper, but it's been a while. Are they, you think they're based on the sort of resurgence in popularity, the Viper? You think they're working on something?
I don't know that they are. But if they did, obviously it would have to be some sort of hybrid or EV as a halo car for them.
Mm-hmm.
But Dodge has said, certainly with all of the success with their muscle cars, all the SRT branded stuff, the Challengers, the Charger, the big high horsepower stuff, their intention is to keep with the muscle car theme for the SRTs, but it'll probably be some sort of hybrid solution, possibly all-wheel drive. And they're going to have to just go, you know, gas engines and electric motors. I don't think that means Hellcat engines and electric motors. I think that means probably like, I don't know, turbo V6s and electric motors.
All right. Let me hit one of my sponsors, JB Weld. JB Weld, world's strongest bond, the brand DIYers and pros have trusted for over 50 years. We use their epoxies, and they also have super glues. We use those, putty sticks as well. Big and small projects, practically any surface, metal, wood, plastics, glass, ceramics. You can use JB Weld on it. I've always used JB Weld, but I just use it to repair metal back in the day. Now they make an adhesive for everything. Just keep it in your kitchen drawer, your toolbox, or down in the garage. I just keep it everywhere. Also, they're the proud owner of Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. If you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner, well, they got you covered. And JB Weld products are available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. Proudly made in the U.S. of A. It's JB Weld. So Toyota is working on a GR 300 horsepower hot hatch with a manual tranny, huh?
Yeah, so the Toyota Corolla, the GR Corolla, you know, everything's going electric, everything's going hybrid, and Toyota was like, "Yeah, let's just go out with a bang with a little hot hatch all-wheel drive." It's a turbocharged 1.6 liter
all-wheel drive
that makes 300 horsepower.
Wow, they're ringing that motor out. That thing must redline into the eights.
Actually, they're saying 6,500.
What?
And I think it's
6,500 redline on a 1.6.
I think if they go too high, then the torque curve is too high.
Right? Uh-huh.
You know, so now you gotta, because the 273 pound feet of torque is between 3,000 RPM and 5,500.
Yeah, I guess, right? It's turbo. If it was naturally aspirated, it'd need to go past.
Yeah, that. And then if you started the turbos at about 4,500, you wouldn't get anything on the low end, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's going to scoot around
good. I like the all-wheel drive part of it.
I do like the all-wheel drive part.
And they're smart because it's these kind of all-wheel drive little kind of pocket rocket cars that are really holding their value. The specialty, low volume stuff, mm-hmm. stick shift, you know, manual shift, all wheel drive or rear wheel drive, you know, small displacement, wrung out to get a bunch of horsepower out of it. And this is the kind of, this would be one of those, put 100 miles on it, put it away, give it to your kid, and he'll sell it on Bring a Trailer in 20 years.
But without a starting price of $180,000, right? You know, whatever, $40,000, you can get something that's kind of fun. Only comes in manual,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is also fun. And a lot of people have pointed out, and just a right there next to the shifter, traditional e-brake handle.
Oh, right.
You know, no buttons, no electronic brakes, just
little drifting.
Yeah, just pull this stick and just do that.
I wonder if it's got, wonder if it does the rev match. Interesting.
Oh, I don't know.
I bet it does.
Yeah.
It's a Japanese company. I bet they have enough technology to push that through.
I mean, like, my Mustang has it. You can turn it on and off. I think your Z or 370Z has it, and you can turn it on and off.
Oh, yeah, mine does. It revs it on the way up, too, which we've talked about before. That's always a little disconcerting, but it'll work. But
revs on the way up too. That's weird. I don't think my Mustang does that.
I don't think it does either.
No, because if I slowly downshift, like if I take it out of third, mm-hmm. once I get it in, I'm just about to pop it in the second. That's the trigger. It says mm-hmm. oh, and then it rev matches.
Yeah, mine rev matches going from third to fourth.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is. I'm sure they know something, but it fucked me up.
Well, like you said, they're smart these days. Who knows? They figure something out.
Yeah. Well, now
anyway, this seems like a fun little car. This GR Corolla, I think it'd be kind of cool.
Is it out yet?
They just announced it. There's no pricing on it. I'm not exactly sure.
Is it the kind of thing you'd have to put an order in on?
Yeah. So by the way, everything's going to go that way. Everything's going to just be like order it. You know. The dealers are going to be like for dealer prep and delivery and whatever.
I mean, Mini kind of did that 20 years ago, right?
You know, I mean, I guess. But you could follow your car
at the factory and stuff like that as it, you know, was built.
I mean, I think the dealers are going to have a much smaller inventory of cars. Those cars are for test drives. And then when you pick one you like, then you order it.
Right.
And that's if you want to go to the dealer. Otherwise, people are going to just be buying cars online and ordering basically from the manufacturer. Then the dealer completes the process for you, right? Because you can't cut the dealer out.
Yeah, I think back to bring a trailer, I think they've opened a lot of people's minds up to just buying cars they haven't driven or even seen in person.
It's what Tesla has been doing, and now like Lucid and Rivian, and everyone's buying these things, and people have not even seen them in person, you know. And some of the brands that want more of a concierge experience, like the Lincoln, you know, like your Black Label, they're just going to order a Lincoln, you know, when you want it, you know. Anyway, the Toyota Corolla, the pricing will come out later this year when the car becomes, you know, when it's closer to the car becoming available. So, you know, end of the year.
All right. I'm going to be in Indianapolis in Helium Comedy Club. That'll be May 6th and 7th, doing live pods and live stand-up there. Then we're doing Huntington Beach Sea Legs May 20th. That's a live podcast. Fun there. Just go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. And you can pre-order my new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available June 19th, but you can pre-order it now.
July 19th.
Oh, I'm sorry. July 19th. It just helps. What do you got, Matt?
Just give me a follow at Motorator on social media, and we'll keep you updated there.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at GEICO.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV. Plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.